London. 1964. The 60s are shifting into full swing. Big hair, bold eyeliner, and rock and roll spilling out of every corner cafe and club.
This is Carnaby Street, the new and swinging centre of the new and swinging London.
From mods on Lambrettas, tearing down Carnaby Street, to anti-nuclear protesters marching through Trafalgar Square. After years of austerity, there's a sense of freedom and hope in the air. A break from the grey post-war years. Harold Wilson's new Labour government promises
the Britain that is going to be forged.
A new Britain built in the white heat of technology.
In the white heat of this revolution will be no place for restrictive practices or for outdated methods on either side of industry.
Think vinyl and jukeboxes. It's the era of the Beatles, The Who, Dusty Springfield and Marianne Faithfull.
A lot of the money teenagers earn goes into buying records. A three-minute single costs over 7 shillings. If it's a hit, a record can sell 1 million copies.
A soundtrack for a generation, rewriting the rules.
Excitement? There'd never been anything like this. Ready for yet more pictures of the best-known faces in the world? 9/10 on...
And right in the middle of it, a young 19-year-old singer named Peppy, chasing her dream of fame.
There I was, 5 foot, dark hair, V-Del Sassoon haircut, a Mary Quant dress, and a very, very big voice.
She's just found out she's been signed to Polydor Records, one of the hottest labels on the scene.
I remember going home to Mum, and we were both kind of gobsmacked. She was so proud and happy.
And now, she's stepping into the spotlight for the very first time.
Okay, ready?
Abbey Road Studios. It's already a hub for some of the most iconic musicians, including the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Ella Fitzgerald. It's a far cry from the dance bands and small clubs where Peppy first honed her voice. Here, the polished floors gleam, and the walls are lined with state-of-the-art recording equipment.
Doors open. There's a full orchestra. I'm talking strings, saxes, trumpets, bass players, drummers. Full. And I could see into the booth with the backing singers. The backing singers were for me. I'm standing in front of the microphone and I look out and I can hear my heart pounding. This feels like the beginning of the start of what I've hoped for and dreamt of for most of my life.
Wow.
UK 1965. That was the beginning for me, to think that I could have been on the road to stardom, the stardom that I had craved.
It even lands her a spot on the most iconic music show of the time. The show that brought pop stars into living rooms and helped launch careers.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The show Ready, Steady, Go. That was a major TV show at that time. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, hi
there. This is Keith Fordyce welcoming you to a very special edition of Ready, Steady, Go. For those of you who
on the bill was the Rolling Stones, and there was Marianne Faithfull and Lulu, and all those iconic people. That was a pivotal moment, I think, singing on that show. I knew that. I was possibly on my way up.
Everything was in place. The spotlight, the stage, the single. But then...
I remember sitting at home waiting for the phone to ring from the A&R guy from Abbey Road. He was always keeping in touch. But then, day by day, slowly, there was silence. Nothing happened. At that time, there were people like Marianne Faithfull, Olivia Newton-John, who looked very different to me. There were very few Jewish-looking singers. I didn't look the blonde, stereotypical singer at that time. These days, it's so different. Back then, I kind of stood out, but not in the way that I wanted. And I always had such deep insecurity about the way that I looked.
There can be so many reasons why some people make it. Can it be as intangible as a face that fits, or one that doesn't? Maybe success isn't always about the song, and more about how the world chooses to see you.
It's that magic ingredient that is so elusive and you can't pinpoint it. There's no book, no guideline to say you've done all your homework, you've done all your recording, this can only be a success. You put in all the years, all the work, but there's no guarantee.
In this series, we speak to those who've brushed up against fame, some who've made it, others still knocking at the door. We ask what keeps them going, what drives people to keep creating, performing, and believing that the spotlight will land on them. And every generation has its dreamers. It's 2025, 50 years since Pepi released her first single, and now another young woman is standing at the edge of a dream.
I'll never forget the moment we first met, and I still have it.
But the world looks different now. The music industry isn't built in smoky clubs or record label boardrooms. It's built on algorithms, on viral moments. Social media has seemingly torn down the old gatekeepers, but it's brought its own pressures too. And for all the change, the dream is the same.
Would you say you want to be famous?
Yes, definitely.
And for this 19-year-old, she's about to enter a competition that might change everything.
I do think the number one emotion would be relief if I won, and then joy. And then I do feel like I get a proper sense of, I feel like I can breathe now. Oh, now I'm going to cringe myself out. Oh my God. Okay. My name is Flo Wilkes. I am 19 years old, and I am I would describe myself as a front woman, to be honest, performer.
She uploads a song she's written, to the New Blood competition, with 5,000 other bands hoping to make it through. The prize? A coveted spot to play at the Isle of Wight Festival.
I remember specifically saying, guys, I accidentally got us a slot to compete at Isle of Wight. So probably when I was like 10 years old, I was like, I feel like this is the thing that I want to do. It just felt right. It's so difficult to describe because it's just, I feel like I slip into sort of a different consciousness when there's a microphone in front of me. And navigating real life can be much harder than navigating life behind a microphone.
She may only be 19, but like Pepe, she's already spent years honing her skills, singing at parties, gigs and pubs, building a band, writing her own songs, performing. And now, reaching the grand final at the New Blood competition, surely she's standing on the edge of becoming what she's always wanted to be.
I think I'm constantly acting like I'm about to be on the edge of something to convince other people, because ultimately social media is all about perception. And the more you convince other people, the more they come to the shows and they think that you're about to be something absolutely incredible.
How are you feeling tonight?
For me, the first feelings of success were when people started singing lyrics back to me. That was insane. It was the first show I'd done in my name, and people singing along is the most surreal feeling, because you're like, wait, what do you mean? You know the words too? Which is addictive in itself.
Thousands of records are released every day. Songs poured from bedrooms, garages, studios, dreams pressed into vinyl. But only a handful will cut through the noise. Why do some artists make it, while others, just as talented, disappear? Why do so many people keep trying when the odds are so stacked against them? Is it hope? Delusion? Pure love for the craft? Or something else entirely. But this isn't just a story about the pursuit of fame. It's about everything that comes with it. It's about what the dream costs, what people sacrifice to keep going, and what they find along the way. And we ask, is there ever a right time to let go of the dream? And what happens when you hold on, even when the path changes? Pepe knows something about that. Later in the series, we hear about what she did next.
Who knew that they would turn out to be the biggest girl group of all time?
And we find out, can Flo Wilks win that breakthrough spot to play the Isle of Wight Festival?
Tonight's lucky winner that will be playing the Isle of Wight Festival 2025 is...